think of a topic here, and I thought I would speak about one of my two favorite characters. Character doesn't sound like the right word. One of the two favorite people in the Bible. Now, you know, there's many, many people that are famous and we all love, and everybody's got their favorites. One of my two favorites is Jeremiah. And I just have always been fascinated about Jeremiah, but that's not the one I'm speaking on today. But the one I'm speaking on today, I jotted down four things about this, and this is a man. So, you know, men tend to be drawn to stories about other men, and women tend to be drawn to stories about other women in the Bible, and there's some very famous men and women. This particular man, it was very magnetic. He had a dynamic personality. People flocked to him. But one thing I think we'll see is his humility, the humility this man had. And the fourth thing is his willingness at the proper time to step away from the limelight. So who am I talking about? His magnetism, dynamic personality, how people flock to him, his humility, his willingness at the proper time to step away from the limelight. The man that I'd like to speak about today is John the Baptist. Because you don't hear very many, or I haven't, I guess I should say, many sermons about John the Baptist. But yet let's turn to one scripture to begin, which I think will tell each of us why John the Baptist is someone we need to study. It's back in the Gospel of Matthew. It's a very easy verse to remember. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 11. So it's pretty easy to remember that. 1-1-1-1. Remember when we used to write into the World Tomorrow broadcast and say Pasadena Box, wasn't it Box 111? Well, this is chapter 11, verse 11. Notice what Jesus Christ says about John the Baptist. This should pretty much make us realize how important this man is to study. Verse 11, assuredly, these are the words of Jesus Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, it is in red. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. What can you imagine having that said about a person? Jesus Christ said, among those born of women, there has not been risen one greater than John the Baptist. But then notice, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why greater? Because be a spirit. They won't be flesh and blood. They'll be spirit in the family of God. But John the Baptist was something amazing. No man or woman born was greater in character in numerous ways than John the Baptist. Quite a statement. Now, as we read today, I think you'll clearly see the quality that stood above every other quality to make this man so great in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Let's begin by turning to the Gospel of Luke. Let's get a little background here. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Sometimes I think we tend to read over certain portions of the Bible without really considering sometimes the deep magnitude of what's being said. But in Luke chapter 1, we begin in verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Now he was of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So you've got Zacharias and Elizabeth, a couple, and they were both righteous before God. Good people, good man, good woman. They were walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now they weren't perfect. No human being was perfect, but they were good people. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So here we have this couple, this very good, solid couple. And Zacharias was a priest, and Elizabeth was from the household, family of Aaron, and Aaron was the high priest back in Moses' time. But they didn't have a child. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. Now, this would happen very seldom. Very seldom would a priest, because they had a group of each group, and then a lot would be drawn, and so it be, Zacharias was drawn, his lot was drawn at this time. Now, obviously, this was from God's plan to have this happen. So he went to the temple, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense, which if you could go back and read in Leviticus especially, and you could see how this was always done. Now when that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Zechariah, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So here was an angel that you could see in a human form. You know, I can't explain certain how things happen sometimes, but this is where God says sometimes you could see angels unaware. Back in Hebrews, it specifically says that. So here was an angel. Now, angels are spirit, but an angel in a human form. And here was Zacharias in there. And when Zacharias saw this angel, he was troubled because he was afraid. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." What prayer? They've been praying for a child for years, and they're too old, probably, to have children normally. And your wife, Elizabeth, she's going to bear a son, and you're supposed to name him John. John. And you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So John had God's Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And, you know, we see the Holy Spirit come at Pentecost in Acts, but John would already have that Holy Spirit like certain others in the Bible back in the Old Testament did, but not many. But anyway, and he's going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. So what a man. He also, this is also what the angel said to Zacharias. He's going to go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We can see this in Malachi 3. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready. Here's what his job is. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was a forerunner before Jesus Christ, God the flesh, the Word came. Zacharias, now here we go. It gets a little interesting here. Zechariah said to the angel, "How am I going to know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in age." In other words, how do I believe you? Well, maybe he said the wrong thing. Because the angel answered and said, "I am Gabriel." Now, I could give an entire sermon just on Gabriel, when Gabriel's mentioned. But Zacharias, the angel told Zacharias, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." A lot in that verse. Well, that was a few words. "And I was sent to speak to you, and I was to bring you these good tidings. You're going to have a child, Zacharias. Your prayers have been answered, and you're going to name him John. And behold, you're going to be mute, and you're not going to be able to speak until the days have taken place because you didn't believe me. You didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So the angel said, "Here's how you're going to do. You're not going to be able to talk for at least 9 months till the baby's born." The people waited outside for Zacharias, and they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. What was taking him so long, they were thinking. When he came out, he couldn't speak to them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. The miracle took place. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, now notice, 5 months. So the baby would be born normally after 9 months under normal circumstances. She said, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, don't keep your place right here. I want to read a couple verses in Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. This is what God told Moses to have the priests say when they went before him. Verse 22, number 6, and the Lord spoke to Moses, said, speak to Aaron and his sons. Remember, Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, the high priest. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Give you peace. They shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So here is Zacharias in there speaking, and the angel came to him. Now, I could read verse 26 to 38, but what it talks about is then the angel Gabriel went to Mary, the one who would be the mother of Jesus Christ. But notice, and I'm not going to read that. You can read it yourself. But I will say this. Look at verse 37. How could a virgin have a child? And verse 37, for with God nothing is impossible. You think back about Sarah and Abraham, how old they were when the child was born, Isaac. Nothing is impossible. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And there she entered the house of, notice who? Zacharias. And greeted Elizabeth. They were going to be the parents of John the Baptist. But if you look at the time frame, let's go back and read verse 26. Now in the sixth month, so the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the same one who went to Zacharias, was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and then to a virgin betrothed to the man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And then when Gabriel speaks to Mary, Mary didn't do this. Yeah, I can't understand. Mary had trust. And I'm not going to read all these verses, but you can read it later. But then Mary, remember, right after Gabriel spoke to Mary, this was the sixth month, so 3 months, basically before John the Baptist would be born, based on the 9 month time frame. Now Mary arose in those days. She went in the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was that baby? That was John the Baptist. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. She's talking to Mary now because Mary is going to be the one that God chose to have Christ's child, the Messiah, Jesus, in the womb. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me? Elizabeth is saying this to Mary. Why is this granted to me? That the mother of my Lord shall come to me. Somehow they understood this miracle. I'm sure they didn't have all the details correct, but somehow Elizabeth, who was going to have John the Baptist, was talking to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, God in the flesh. For indeed, she said, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Don't ask me how it happened. I don't know, but it says, I'm just reading what God says in the Bible here. Blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of the things which they were told from the Lord. So, that they were told. Now, then Mary says some words. It has in my Bible the Song of Mary, words she says. But let's drop down to verse 57. Now Elizabeth, her full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy on her. They rejoiced with her. Here's this older woman having a baby. They're all happy, but they didn't even have a clue what it all meant, I'm sure. Now, so it was in the eighth day after John was born. In the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias, because normally he'd be named first child after their father. But the mother answered, being Elizabeth, and said, no, we're going to call him John. And they said, well, there's no one among your relatives who's called by this name. Why are you going to call him John? So they made signs to the father. Remember, he couldn't speak. He was mute. They made signs to his father that he would have him, what would you call him? And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote, his name is John. And they all marveled, why would you call him John? Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. I guess so. He couldn't speak for 9 months. And then the miracle, he could speak. Then fear, and I think if you look at the Greek word, it means awe, came upon all who dwelt there. And all these things were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all they heard them kept them in their hearts saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. The hand of the Lord was with him. Now, again, then you can read about the words that Zechariah says. Now that he's able to speak, he praised God. Drop down one verse here, verse 80. And I would encourage you to read this entire chapter because there's so many things in here, prophetic things that are said, but we can't go through everything here. But dropping down to verse 80, so the child, we're talking about John, the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So John grew up in the desert country. Now let's turn over to Matthew. Matthew. Let's see some of the things that Matthew says about John. Verse 1 of Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And what was his message? Here it is. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who spoke of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, so you can look here and you can see this quotes from Isaiah 40. A prophecy from Isaiah 40. Who is this John? He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And what does he say? Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John himself was clothed in camel's hair. Clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Man, I was feeling pretty good about John until I read this. What? Well, first of all, camel's hair was a very expensive fabric, and the leather belt was expensive. I mean, it wasn't like some, you remember Back to the Future, the crazy professor? That's not what John was. John was a man that was sent as a forerunner, was he not? And okay, locusts, that doesn't sound too good, but the wild honey doesn't sound bad, does it? Then, Jerusalem and all Judea And all around the region, the Jordan went out to him. He was so dynamic. He was so powerful. Everybody wanted to hear from John the Baptist. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So they were baptized for repentance. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of snakes." He didn't pull any punches. "You brood of vipers, you brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." He told these Pharisees and Sadducees, who thought they were so righteous, "You need to repent too. Just because you are a so-called leader," he said, "you need to repent too. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" And you can read back in the Gospel of John where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, chief priests, they were fighting with Jesus Christ or arguing with him, saying, "Who do you think you are? We've got Abraham." And yet Jesus Christ was far greater than Abraham. He's God in the flesh. They didn't get it. "We have Abraham as our father." But he said, "I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones if he wants to. And even now," he said, "the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree," or every person, he's saying, "which does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire." In other words, are we serious? He's telling them, are you serious about what you're doing? Or is this a game you're playing, Pharisees? Are you telling everybody else how to do everything but not being willing to do it yourself? He said, "John again speaking, 'I indeed baptize you with water to repentance.'" He baptized him and immersed him by water for repentance. But he said, "He who's coming after me, he's mightier than I am, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with fire." So he's saying, he may be the prime attraction, I guess you could say, at the time, but he said, "There's someone a lot greater than me. I'm just calling people to repentance," is what John said. Now let's turn back to Luke chapter 3, where we were earlier, because I think sometimes John gets not considered deeply enough as to what his commission was and what kind of a word that he did. So here we are, same time frame. If you had a parable of harmony of the Gospels, Luke 3 parallels Matthew 3. Look at verse 10. In fact, if you look at the verse before, he's talking about bear fruits worthy of repentance. Then verse 10, though, "The people asked him, said, 'Then what should we do? You're telling us to repent. What shall we do?'" is what they were asking. And he answered, he said, "If you've got two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And if you have food, do likewise. Don't be hoarding everything. Only for yourself," is what he's saying. Then he said, "Collect no more than what's appointed you." So if you're a tax collector, don't lie, don't cheat, don't take what's not yours, is what he was saying. They're the tax collectors, which I skipped that verse. The tax collectors came and he told them, "What should we do?" And he said, "Don't take more than you're supposed to." Verse 14, "Likewise the soldiers asked him, saying, 'And what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Don't intimidate anyone, or don't accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.'" Now as the people were in the expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, what were they asking? They wondered whether he was the Christ or not. People were saying, maybe this is the Christ. Maybe this is the Messiah. John, don't you think that could be rather heady to be told that? Oh, are you the Christ? Are you the one? Notice verse 16, John said to them, "I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one mightier than I who's coming, whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to loose. Before he said, I'm not even worthy to carry shoes. Now he said, I'm not even worthy to unstrap the sandals of the shoes. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the barn, and the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. Remember, they said, what shall we do? What are we supposed to do? And notice he didn't point people to himself. He pointed people, there's one coming greater than I. Okay, now let's turn over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, very first chapter. Now we got the same situation, same time frame. This is verse 19 of John 1. I'm going to read verse 19 and 20. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests. Now this, the Gospel of John was written by John and became the apostle, but this is the testimony he's talking about of John the Baptist, two different people. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Remember, some ask, are you the Christ? Are you? Who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah, is what he kept saying. How hard would it be to be number one and realize that you're not going to stay number one? You know, I can remember in many, many business situations I've been in my life and companies I've worked for, not that I've worked for that many companies, but each one or two in particular, they'd go up to the ladder, and when they didn't get that next promotion, they would leave because they're not going to be subservient to someone else in so many cases. I remember hearing people say things like, rank is an odor. Well, it is an odor, but sometimes people think rank is so important when who are any of us compared to God? God has all the power. We're going to resurrect yourself from the grave? Of course not. You know that. I remember a man used to tell me how once he had an important job in the church, and I thought it was a really important job he had, but yet he would act like unless he had the more importance. I mean, you see things like this in life. Okay, we're back. We're still in John chapter 1. Let's continue back in verse 21. They ask him. He said, I'm not the Christ. So they ask him, well, are you Elijah? And he said, no, I'm not. They said, well, are you the prophet? They said, no, I'm not. Then they said, well, who are you? Who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Who are you? And he said, well, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. Remember, he said that, we read that, I believe, in Matthew 3. Just like the prophet Isaiah said. He said, I am one just crying in the wilderness. Remember, he was out in the wilderness. I'm telling people to make straight paths. Get your life together. Now, those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they ask him, saying, why do you baptize then if you're not the Christ? Or if you're not Elijah? Or if you're not the prophet? What are you doing here? And John said, I baptize with water, but there's one who stands among you. Right in your midst, he was saying. Right in the midst of all this was going on. He said, there's one who's standing right among you, whom you don't know. It is he. Not me, he said. It's he coming after me. He's preferred before me. I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal strip. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now we see a next phase, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus. He saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth had John, but Mary, who was close relative of Elizabeth, had God in the flesh. I can't explain. We can't explain how God does these things, but God in the flesh, who came to earth, the Word of God, was born through Mary. So Mary and Elizabeth knew each other well. John, obviously, you would think, but he said, there's the Lamb of God over there who takes away the sin of the world. So now he's saying, this person, not him, but this person, takes away the sin of the world. This is whom I said after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, because God always existed, even though he came into the flesh of Jesus Christ. I didn't know him, he said, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. That's what I'm here for, he was saying. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I didn't know him, he said, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 34, the climax of, in a sense, of John's ministry. He said, I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. This person, he said, isn't just a man. He's the Son of God. Notice where the first disciples came from. Where did Jesus' first disciples come from? Well, let's look at verse 35. The next day, John stood with two of his disciples. So John had disciples, did he not? So the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked as Jesus walked. He said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned. He turned and he saw these two disciples following. And he said, Who do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, which is to say teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus said, Come and see. And they came, they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Now it was the 10th hour, which would be about 4 p.m. One of the two disciples, who were these two disciples of John's? One of these two disciples who heard John speak and followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother, Simon, which is Peter, and said to him, We found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, look at who? Look at Simon, look at Peter. He said, You're Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated to stone. How many people could step aside? Now, I'm not finished in John, so keep your place here. But let's just turn back again to Matthew 3. And I'm going to read something I've already read. Let's look at Matthew 3, 13 through 17. I actually haven't read this. We're reading it now. Now we see John baptizing Jesus. Why would God in the flesh need to be baptized? Verse 13 of Matthew 3, Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? And Jesus said, Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So John baptized Jesus. Like, would God need to be baptized? And then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and beheld the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This," talking about Jesus Christ, "this is my beloved Son, of whom I'm well pleased." So John baptized Jesus, but now John's leaving the scene as far as the, shall we say, the key person. I had a pastor once tell me that he would never ordain anyone who would leave the church if their position was taken away. Now, not that anybody's position is being taken away, but what is a position other than just a title? We're all the same in God's eyes. You know that. So now we back over in John again. We were in John chapter 1, but you could read verse 43 to 51, and we see other of John's disciples being called and getting close to Jesus. But now we see Jesus taking the prime spot rather than John. In John 2, right off the bat, you see the first miracle of all things. Jesus turned water into wine. Wow. Of all things, turned water into wine. Then in John 2, later, we see Jesus cleansing the temple of the money changers where they were cheating people and selling them things for the sacrifices, and he overturned the tables. Then in John 3, we see Nicodemus, who actually was one of the Pharisees, come to Jesus and talk to Jesus. But in verse 22 of John 3, let's read a few verses here, verse 22 of John 3. After these things, after what things? Well, we saw the water turned into wine. We saw the temple cleansed. We saw the Nicodemus talking to Jesus. And then in verse 22, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. So now he's baptizing, or his disciples are baptizing. Now John, he was also baptizing in Ana near Salaam, because there was much water there, and they came and they were baptized. So John was still baptizing. John, it says, had not yet been thrown into prison. What do you mean prison? John's about to be thrown into prison, but it hasn't happened yet at this particular time. Then there arose a dispute among some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification, and they came to him. They came to John, and they said, "Rabbi, he who was with you baptized beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, behold, he's baptizing, and all are coming to him." They're all going to Jesus. Why aren't they coming to you? John's disciples didn't think that was right, some of them. Now, some of them went, became Jesus' apostles, but some of John's disciples saying, "Who is this other person? You're the top dog, John." And John said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Every breath of life you take, every heartbeat that beats, is a gift from God." That's basically what John was saying. But he says, "You yourself bear witnesses." And I said, "I'm not the Christ." He said, "I've told you I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one who you should look to," he said. "I've been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom," now he's talking about himself, "the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, he rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice." John was saying, "I'm thrilled that I had the opportunity to go before Christ and preach repentance. But I'm not the Christ," he said. "Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled," he said. He, talking about Jesus, "he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." God came from heaven in the flesh, Jesus Christ. "And what he has seen and heard, and he testifies, and no one receives his testimony." Here it's still the words of John speaking. Here are the words of John speaking. "And he who has received this testimony has certified that God is true." John is saying God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give his Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son. Now he's pointing them to Jesus. He said the Father loves the Son, and he's given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. John is saying, don't believe in me. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ, who's the Messiah, God in the flesh. He said, I'm just the forerunner. He said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So, John is praising Jesus Christ and pointing people toward Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Continuing the story. In Luke chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. But Herod, the tetrarch, being rebuked by him, by John, concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. John said, Herod, you're wrong. And also above this, above all, that he, Herod, shut John up in prison. So now John's in prison. Now, we've read here that John, we could read on that John baptized Jesus, but John got thrown in prison at some point. Back to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 11. You have to have a harmony of the gospel to see how they all fit in place, but yet, now we see in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 1. Now, it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, several of which were disciples of John the Baptist before, that he, Jesus, departed from there to teach and to preach to their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. He still had disciples that weren't apostles. He sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, or they said to him, said to Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we seek another? They're still asking that question. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, you go and tell John, who was in prison, you go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Jesus did these miracles. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. You can go back and read these healings in the Bible, in the Gospels. The dead are raised up. He raised up dead people. Remember the son and the Nain as they're going through the streets? The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And this is the words of Jesus Christ. And blessed is he or she who is not offended because of me. And they departed. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. Now John's in prison. And now these are the words of what Jesus says about John. What did you go out to see in the wilderness? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? Do you think John just kind of wavered back and forth? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a man clothed in soft garments? In other words, rich clothes, richness. Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a prophet when you went out to see John? And Jesus said, yes, I say to you, he's more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me. prepare your way before me. Now this was, I'm going back here, but let's turn to Matthew 14. Verse 3 through 13. For Herod had laid hold of John. He had bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Remember, John told him, you're sinning, you stole your brother's wife. And John said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitudes. Herod feared the multitudes because they counted him, John, as a prophet. But Jesus Christ said, oh, he was more than a prophet. And when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she wanted ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. King was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him at the table, he commanded it be given to him, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now back to Matthew chapter 11. I just stopped before I read one more verse because we read this verse earlier, but let's read it one more time. Here's Jesus talking about John. Verse 11 and 12, Matthew 11, he said, I say to you among those born of women, no one has risen that's greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he because he'll have eternal life. John was still in physical, but John will have eternal life at the proper time. And from the days of John the Baptist, Jesus said, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He's saying, you have to fight the good fight. You and I have to fight to be what God tells us to be. And it's not, we have a Savior, but yet God expects us to fight the fight of truth. Back to Matthew 14. I failed to read one verse. Remember, I finished by reading verse 12 of Matthew 14, where it says, his disciples, John's disciples, they came, they took away the body. They buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He had a lot to think about. John was dead. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot. And Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion, and he healed their sick. And they went, and then he, as you could read here, if we read on, he fed the 5,000 right after he heard of the death of John the Baptist, right before Jesus. And he went away by himself, and they kept coming after him, and he gave the 5,000 food. Now let's turn, as we close, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. A final tribute by Jesus about John the Baptist. Now, if you look at John chapter 6, it talks about the same event, the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, the disciples came, they told Jesus, that John was dead, had been beheaded by Herod. Jesus went to a deserted place to be alone, to be thinking of things, and as you know, they came after him. But what happened while he was there? Verse 31 through 36 of John chapter 5. Here is what Jesus said as a tribute to John the Baptist right before he fed the 5,000, another of his many miracles. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He said, I'm not just talking on my own authority. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that witness, and he witnesses of me, is true. You've sent to John, he said. And he, John, is borne witness to the truth. Yet I did not receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved. He's talking about God, the Father. Now notice what he says about John the Baptist as a tribute right after he finds out he's died. He was a burning and a shining lamp. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you've seen me, saying you've seen Jesus. He said that John the Baptist was a shining light and a burning symbol, so to speak. Now, I could go back to Matthew 11 again and read where Jesus said, no man had ever been born in this world that was any greater than John the Baptist as far as a human being. Now, the head of John the Baptist, remember he was beheaded. Boy, you can read a lot of people claim that head. Probably every one of them are wrong. The head of John the Baptist is claimed in numerous places in medieval time. The Catholic Church said they had his head. The Muslims, whom John is a major one, they worship. They say his head's preserved in Damascus. If you go to Rome, there's a head in the San Silvestro Church that they say is the head of John the Baptist. We can't be everywhere. His right hand, the one they say baptized Jesus. They say it's in the Serbian Orthodox Church headquarters, but I doubt that's right. You know, I remember going, my son won't remember this probably, but I remember going to Italy once, go to the feast in France, and going to Italy, went to the Vatican after the Feast of Tabernacles just to look around. And we were in this big, I think it's whatever the church is, St. Paul or St. Peter's, I can't remember which. It was a big, huge church just looking around. And there was this statue of what was supposed to be Peter. Now, it wasn't the real Peter. But there was a statue that was supposed to be Peter. And his toe, and it was in, you know, metal, some types of metal, his toe had been completely worn away by all the men and women that would go down and rub their fingers, hands across that toe. Because they, somehow in their mind, they said that was the Apostle Peter. And I remember thinking how odd that was. And then I wasn't paying attention. I looked and there was my daughter up there rubbing that toe. I just wanted to, I thought, oh no, now what's happening? And there was two women standing next to me. I remember they said they were from New Jersey. And one of them said, is that your daughter? And I was embarrassed to say it was. I said, yeah, yes. And the woman, I'll never forget what she said, she's wise beyond her years to be able to touch that stupid toe. John would be embarrassed if he knew people idolized him. He pointed people to Jesus. As I said here, we read it, was a burning and a shining light who did his job and was ready to move into the background. How many people could have handled that adulation that John the Baptist handled? the importance, the popularity, and to step aside when the Son of God. John was a very humble man. But yet it says, despite the fact that he was as great as any man that had ever been born of women, he would be nothing compared to the least in the kingdom of heaven. And the reason, of course, is because they would be spirit beings in the family of God. I think the lesson, the life, just to take a look at it this morning on John the Baptist, is a good example for you and for me to see that God places men and women in positions and opportunities in life, but God is who we should worship. No man, no church, organization, but God.